Hello, America. Hello, Alaska. Welcome to Stand with Kelly and Nikki Chewbacca. We are broadcasting from Alaska's last frontier. I'm Kelly Chewbacca, your host, a former government watchdog, and I'm broadcasting with my co-host and husband, Nikki Chewbacca, a former attorney in the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice and the father to our amazing five children. Please remember to subscribe to your favorite podcast platform for Stand with Kelly and Nikki Chewbacca or on YouTube at The Stand Show. Our website for more episodes is standshow.org, and we're on social media at Kelly for Alaska. Leave a review, and you could be our lucky winner of one of our Hydro Flask stickers from Stand. And make sure to share this episode with a friend or family member. Today is a true honor to have Dr. Alveda King on our show today. She is the niece of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the daughter of his brother, Reverend A.D. King, who fought valiantly and courageously for civil rights alongside his brother. Dr. Alveda King is the chair of the America First Policy Institute's Center for the American Dream. She's a passionate Christian evangelist and pro-life advocate, and she is the founder of Speak for Life and Alveda King Ministries. She's an acclaimed author and Fox News Channel contributor, and she was elected twice to the Georgia State House and is the 2021 recipient of the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. This year marks the 60th anniversary of her uncle's I Have a Dream speech. And today we're going to talk to her about her uncle and that historic speech, about her father, who was an influential leader in the civil rights movement, and about her ongoing fight for justice as a tireless voice for the unborn. Dr. King, thank you so much for being with us today.
It's wonderful to join you and your listening and viewing audience. Hi, everyone.
Well, hello. We're so happy to have you. We want to begin our conversation today by reflecting on some of your family's amazing legacy. The words that your uncle delivered 60 years ago in his famous I Have a Dream speech have just impacted us all. He said so many amazing things, but we just wondered, is there a personal story that you can share about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.?
Absolutely. I did not attend the march. I was a young teenager, and we remained at home. I did go to a march that same year called the Children's March in Birmingham, Alabama. My parents did journey to, join their brother and brother-in-law at the march. There are so many things that my uncle said and did, but one of the most impressive things he said to me, as I think back, he said, I have a dream that one day there'll be no black power, no white power, only God power and human power. And I think about my grandfather, Reverend Martin Luther King Sr., my dad, Reverend Alfred Daniel Williams King, A.D. King, and they often taught about us all being one blood and one human race. Of one blood, God made all people. So when I think about my uncle, his inclusiveness, he embraced diversity and all of that from a Christian perspective. So that led him to say, we must learn to live together as brothers, and I'll add as sisters, and not perish together as fools. So he saw everybody with ethnicity. He wasn't colorblind. None of us are colorblind. We celebrate ethnicity, but we don't fight over skin color. So I think that's one of the things that remains with me and is so remarkable to me, that understanding that I've carried through my lifetime, and now I'm 73.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, that's powerful, that we're all one blood, one race, created by God, all with equal dignity and all sacred in his eyes. Dr. King, most Americans obviously know a lot about your uncle, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., but they may not know as much about your father, who you just referenced, Alfred Daniel King, Reverend A.D. King, who was also a civil rights movement leader and hero himself. In fact, he was such a threat to the white supremacists of his day that when you were just 12 years old, they bombed your family's home. Can you tell us about that experience and the heroic and amazing way in which your father responded?
I remember often Daddy standing on a car out in front of our home. We escaped when the house was bombed. My mother, Mrs. Naomi Ruth Barber King, talks about that, and I do too. And you can find videos and YouTubes of her description of what happened. And so we escaped out of the home, and my father stood on a car with, I don't know if he had a megaphone that night, but he spoke to the crowd, and he says, listen, don't riot and don't fight. If you have to hit someone, hit me, but I'd rather you go home and pray. My family and I are okay. And what we had was what was called the outside agitators, and you see that today in this century. A lot of times when you see these riots and firebombs and people throwing bricks through cars, it's not the residents, it's not the people of that who live there, but these are people who come in from other communities and places to stir up agitation. And so the people, what I remember from that particular night, the people who lived in the neighborhood started going home. And so you were left with these rioters and outside agitators who really were not even part of our community. I remember that. That was a great preacher, too. I posted recently on YouTube, and I think I said Alveda King, A.D. King sermon. And people, when they listened to Daddy's voice, they said, that sounds just like Martin Luther King Jr. And they looked alike. They were very much, very similar in appearance, and they were very, very close. So Daddy was a Baptist preacher just like his brother. He was a civil rights leader, a father, a husband. And we miss all of them so much now.
Well, that was just such a powerful story of your father responding not in anger or hatred, but trying to quell anger and hatred when his own family was viciously and violently attacked. It didn't just show courage, it showed moral courage, which was it's just so powerful. So thank you for sharing that story. I'd like to ask you, if you don't mind, Dr. King, we've made a lot of progress towards achieving a lot of the goals of the civil rights movement that your father and your uncle and others in your family so valiantly fought for. Yet we're experiencing an increasing tension, racial tensions today. You just kind of referenced it in just a few moments ago about those outside agitators in that particular instance. There are a lot of folks out there who are trying to stoke the fires of hatred and bitterness between white people and black people, which were the very fires that your father and others so valiantly fought to quell. Can you share with us any thoughts you may have on how we can all stand together in working to heal those racial grievances and promote racial reconciliation?
Victory absolutely must be maintained in every generation, every decade, and on every platform. And we all often wonder, why are the young people acting like that? Why do they do that? Why did they say that? If we do not proclaim truths in every generation, every decade, and on every platform, people forget. And so we must come together and stand together. And I'm often saying that to young people and people my age and older than me. If we do not stand up for justice and righteousness, then wickedness and evil and terror will overtake us. So people will often say, oh, we are going backwards. We've lost everything that Martin Luther King Jr. fought for. Absolutely not. We certainly not lost everything that Jesus Christ won on the cross at Calvary. But it is our responsibility in every generation, every decade, every platform to proclaim truth and to explain truth. And that's why I'll give you a good example. Remember when the CRT, critical race theory argument, was just so loud all across the country, and then people started saying, well, we will cancel CRT. We won't talk about it. I said, well, no. I called you bluff on that one. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about critical race theory, being socialist, being Marxist, having been created by people who thought that there were different races and there was a superior race based on blonde hair and blue eyes. And I say, so socialism and Marxism is not fair, it's not just, and critical race theory was birthed out of that philosophy. So when we started doing that, you notice that the the advocates of CRT. Oh, well, we never said that, and we really didn't mean it, and we didn't do it. I said, so my point is this: tell the truth and shame the devil. And so America has such a rich and beautiful, wonderful history. It has some very terrible, ugly, mean things, but it has some absolutely wonderful experiences. So when you take that and tell the whole story, for instance, a lot of people really didn't believe that there were black people who owned slaves, who owned black slaves in America. People did not want to believe that. Another thing that people did not want to believe was that in the time that slavery occurred here in America, when the Caucasians went over to get the slaves were sold to the Caucasians by black people. They sold their own communities and villages. If the villages were at war, and they would take their own captives and sell their captives to the slavers. So I said, you know, I used to go around to these foot washings, and there would be the white people, and, oh, let us wash your feet, and we've been so horrible to you. And a lot of things, I'm not minimizing slavery, it was horrible and terrible. I says, well, I'll wash your
We'll be right back
and
with
give us the
Dr.
heels of
King.
legs.
About we're sorry, we're gonna have to move into a break. Dr. King will pick up right on the other side of this break. She's gonna talk about her courageous work as a civil rights leader on behalf of the unborn, and we'll also pick up with the story she was just telling. Stand by.